Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to Question Reality. I'm your host, Priscilla Leona, and we are coming to you live from Los Angeles, California. If this is your first time tuning in, our show will help you to question your career reality. Now, this show is for you if you are considering a career in the entertainment industry. Our guests will provide you with advice on how and what it takes to successfully pursue a career in the entertainment industry. Our guests include Emmy winners, Grammy winners, Tony winners, reality TV stars, producers, directors, actors, singers, casting directors, talent agents, talent managers, and it goes on and on and on. If they are working professionally in show business, we are going to have them on this show to give you entertainment career advice. And we make sure that our guests are at different stages of their careers, from professionals to beginners, and that means that we will definitely have someone on the show who will be able to help you with your show business career questions. And you can listen to any of our past guests by going to our archive page of the latalkradio.com website. Just go to channel one. There's a link, a drop-down box. You click Question Reality. It takes you to our archive page. And also our shows are available to listen to on iTunes and under the podcast section on Stitcher.com. So just go to their websites and type in Question Reality Radio in the search box. We have someone here taking pictures, so we got to put on our big smiles right now, and I'm going to suck it in and pump it up and pull these damn breasts that are hanging to Tijuana up for a minute. All right. So again, Stitcher.com and iTunes. And if you want to find out about our future guests, now that's a totally different website. That is our official website, which is QuestionRealityRadioShow.com. QuestionRealityRadioShow.com. And we are booked, as always, 6 months to a year in advance. Right now we're at 6 months. So if you want to be on the show to promote your project and you work professionally in the entertainment industry, go to questionrealityradioshow.com and submit. And lastly, I encourage you to download our free app for your Android or iPhone to be able to listen to all of our other exciting shows. If you're a little flaccid and you need some help, there is a show on the radio station that's going to help you out. If you are using boy butter, put that boy butter away, because there's a show that's going to help you with some techniques. It's going to really help you. It doesn't matter. They got all kinds of shows, Marcy and Amanda and Michael on this. It's amazing. It's an incredible, incredible radio station. It covers everything. Now, so download that app. Go to latalkradio.com and scroll down the bottom to the right, and we are there. So I got lots of emails when I announced these gorgeous little people that are here today. Michael Gross. Oh, where's my applause button, Albert? You know, oh, and Albert, of course, my husband Albert, who's in charge of the applause button. There we go, Michael Gross. Yes, applause. And Amanda Sarah. Yes, yes, and Marcy Buck. I know, I force everybody every week. Yes, it's corny and tacky, but I love that damn applause button, so just deal with it. You're going to get applause. Now, at the end of the show, you're going to hear a gong around 4:45. We end the show at 4:50, so be prepared. There is another sound that may upset you. So if you're over there smoking weed and you're half high, just be prepared. There's a gong coming. Now, we got three people here that are they are promoting this new, very first comedy web series about baby boomers. I don't think I ever heard. Yeah. There's an applause. Yay. It is called CarbonDatingSeries.com, and you can find it on YouTube and also on Facebook and Twitter, but you can go to the website right now, CarbonDatingSeries.com, and check it out. But don't get distracted, because we got some hot, hot conversation coming up here. We are going to be talking about all kinds of stuff. We're going to try to integrate some tips from Michael, who has an amazing, illustrious 40-year career. Let me just tell you a little bit. We'll talk about Michael Gross, actor, producer. Now, Michael Gross.
Hello, hello, hello.
Yes. Oh, applause. Shh. Okay. Michael Gross. Thank you. 5 minutes dedicated to applause tracks. Yes. Michael Gross earned his Master of Fine Arts degree in acting from the School of Drama at Yale University. Hey, now we got some theatrical training royalty, I think, in our presence. And I think Brooke Shields also has a degree from there as well. I think it's from Yale. And now, during his 40-year career, Michael, perhaps best known for his portrayal of Father Stephen Keaton on NBC's award-winning Family Ties. Oh my God, who did not watch this show? You know, I was just telling Albert in the elevator, I swear, when I was watching this show as a child, and I was like, oh my God, that father is so cute. My mother's like, oh, I'd boink him in a minute. And I thought to myself, hey, isn't it weird how life, you don't know that you're going to meet these people? Who the hell knew, fast forward, that I'd be having them on my radio show? And it just had happened with Ernest Thomas from What's Happening. He's a very dear friend of mine, Daryl Hannah. Just on and on. You just never know who you're going to meet. But I want to thank you so much for being on the show, Michael Gross. And now thank you.
You bet. Nice to be here. Thank you.
Now, all of the
characters. And in conclusion.
Yes. Now there's more. All of the characters on that show, they were so well written, acted. And my first question to you is, how fun was it to work on that show? If you can remember.
It was a while,
right?
It was a long time ago. I was but a callow youth. No, it was a great deal of fun, and the fun, I think, came from, as most fun does, from the material itself. That's where it began.
Right.
It would have been pretty dreary had the material not been worthwhile, because we all get bored easily.
Yeah.
But it was a lot of hard work, but fun because the writers were second to none.
Very well
written.
And
it was a hard act to follow. Yeah, exactly.
Very, and dealt with issues of the time, very much like... We're going to talk about this later. One of my favorite sitcoms, All in the Family. Albert, can you be taking pictures and video? We're just going to just say it. Because Michael is looking his best right now. We got to capture
him. Oh, not as good as Daryl Hannah.
Can you believe that? I can't even believe that. Now, what were some of your fondest memories working on that show?
As in any long-term show, it probably had to do with the fact that everybody became very close. It was 7 years, and we saw marriages, births, divorces,
yes.
New homes, and the crew, as well as the cast, became very close indeed. And that was the most difficult thing, I think, about leaving was it really was one big family. For 7 years, as we got to
know
each other.
There were lots of ties.
I myself don't wear a tie that often.
My God. And you all had to work on other projects as well, because after the show blew up, you had other things, and managing that as well as the show. How did you all do that?
Well, I think the most difficult example was Michael Fox, who was doing Back to the Future at the same time as he was doing Family Ties. So he'd go home at the end of the evening, and not go far from home, because he'd finished the day at Family Ties, and then go off and was doing night shoots for Back to the Future when that first happened. That was just insane. And all of us, there were only when we first began, there were only three networks, and so you were almost guaranteed. I mean, it was just so wonderful because you were part of the NBC stable of stars, if you will, and you were almost guaranteed to have a television movie. I mean, just because you were one of the NBC people.
Right.
When I say stable, I mean Stallion.
Yes. Stallion.
Yeah, right.
Now, he's actually Michael J. Fox. You've all gone on to have wonderful careers. I'm enjoying Michael on The Good Wife.
Oh, right,
love
right.
him. He's doing an incredible job. Love him. And did you ever work with him on another project other than Family Ties?
The only other time I worked with Michael, we were naturally so very much identified with that, was his final episode of Spin City. When he left Spin City because of Parkinson's, and he could no longer carry on at full throttle. He was producing, you know, overseeing the writing, the whole thing. He called me and said, "Why don't you come in and do the final episode?" Which, for old time's sake, and that was really a lot of fun.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
I'm going to Netflix that.
It was great.
I didn't know that.
It was a great introductory line because he was going to a psychiatrist in that particular show, and his regular psychiatrist or counselor had canceled, and he was on the phone complaining and said, "You know, I have a life with this guy. I have a history with this guy. What are the chances that somebody's going to walk in the door? I'm going to feel comfortable with him." And then I walk. And so it was a perfect setup. And then I walk, and it hadn't been announced to the audience, so it was just wild. And it was both very sweet and very a little sad too,
yeah.
because we knew each other so well, timing. Delivery. I could almost guess the way he was going to say a line before it came out of his mouth, that it was a shame we had developed all that wonderful camaraderie over 7 years, and then it was over.
I know.
It was sort of a waste. It's like, it was great to be with
me. It's a plus that you're working all that time on a show, but then, you know, everything comes to an end. Right now, people shoot just for the 5 years, right? Because isn't it true, Michael, 5 years is when you can get the residuals, right?
Well, no, you want to get... syndication, yeah. Exactly.
Syndication, that's but you got to exactly be on 5 years. Is that
well?
Still
you want approximately 100 episodes, whatever okay. that you know. So that can if you get that in four, you can get that in 4 years if you're doing 26 per year, you know, that sort of thing.
Okay, so I thought it was 5 years. There you go. Now you've also portrayed a remarkable range of recurring characters on the Drew Carey Show, ER, How I Met Your Mother, USA Network Suits, Netflix's Grace and Frankie, and prior to being cast, were in any of these shows on your regular watch list?
To be honest with you, ER would have been the only one, probably.
And the reason I'm asking that is because as an actor, do you recommend watching as many shows as possible just in case you get called for an audition? I have two trains of thought on that. Some people say that's ridiculous. Other people are like, you really should watch them.
I don't think it's strictly necessary, but it's always nice for you to be able to tell your representatives what you'd like to be doing and whose kind of work you admire and could you pitch me for this sort of thing. So if you have a certain take on the world, a writer, for example, if you like this writer or that writer, David Kelly or somebody like this, say, well, you know, I want to do one of those shows. I like that person's sensibilities. I think it's a good idea to just see what you like.
Yeah.
I think it helps guide you. I mean, God forbid, there are 500 channels now. Who has a chance to tune into everything and watch everything?
That's
I don't
for
binge
sure.
watch, and you can easily get lost. But it's interesting just to have some familiarity, not strictly necessary, but I think for your own taste to
right.
say, this I like, this I don't right. like. I'd enjoy this and not
yeah.
and not this.
Yeah, I mean, why not audition as an actor for some of your favorite shows? Last question on that. What are some of your favorite shows now? What are maybe favorite sitcom, favorite drama?
This is going to be embarrassing.
Why?
I don't watch a lot of television much. No, I don't. I don't. I mostly watch independent films. Here's a shameless plug for Lemley Theaters. I mostly watch independent films and foreign films and things like that. There's a lot of great stuff on television. I can't keep up with it at all.
Oh, I know.
I don't watch
it's
a lot of stuff.
It's overwhelming. I mean, you could sit all day and be glossed over by all of the great shows.
I have friends who see everything. We're pretty much, again, shameless plug for PBS. We see, you know, my yeah. wife is a crazed Downton Abbey fan. And and a lot of other things that are, we typically find on public.
Yeah, I prefer British comedy myself, so I look for any British shows at all I can get my hands on. Now, you've guest starred in numerous television, and you've starred in dozen films, and you were...
Name them for me. I don't remember it.
Oh, my God. We'd be here for hours.
At least two.
Hours. All right. I want to talk about is, I did not know this, but you were on The Young and Restless. Obviously, you know, they only cast the gorgeous, hot, handsome people, so I can totally see soap opera. Now,
we call it The Young and the Rest of Us.
Now, how did you enjoy working on a soap opera versus network and cable television?
I'll tell you the thing to be gained from that the most. They work so quickly. It really is, for me, not as much fun, if you will, as a lot of other things, because they work so quickly that a lot of the material is just given to you and you've got to deliver. Yeah. You don't have time to talk about it. You don't have time to explore it in depth and all that sort of thing. Which I like. I love rehearsals. I adore rehearsals. Not a lot of time for that sort of thing on soap operas. So what you do learn, and I think one of the best things to learn from something like that, is whatever you get, commit to it. Commit to it thoroughly, 100%, because there's not room to talk about it. There's not room to change it. There's not room to finesse it. They just, a lot of times they want to see it in one or two takes. They're shooting so quickly. They're shooting an hour show per day.
Mm-hmm.
There's no time to go into depth. So I think it's great in that it's a lot like improvisation. That is to say, if somebody on the stage hands you an imaginary object and says, this is a baseball bat, you accept it as a baseball bat. You can't say, no, it's not. It's a flower. If they hand you a script on a soap opera, commit to it. Just commit to it. That's your job for the day in whatever form that is. You don't have time to talk about it, argue it. That's what I learned the most from that.
I'm glad.
It was too late. By the time I learned it, they fired me.
That's what I'm glad you elaborated on that, because I was going to ask you to explain some of the differences. If it was someone's goal to be cast on a soap opera, what would be some tips that you think would help them? Because I find, now I don't know if it's just me, Marcy and Amanda and Michael, but I find that I can't get into the soap operas. I try, except for the hot guys, I will take a peek. But I find that I'm almost like, you know, that thing that's black and white and it goes around and spins. I feel like I'm hypnotized. So it seems like it's another form of acting, like not English mask or method or Meisner or any of those. It seems different. Am I wrong? With you being an expert, am I wrong? There's a different style to it. Is there like some secret soap opera classes that only the hot people get to take? You got to knock on the door and there's a password? It's different. The acting is different.
Well, there is a kind of style. These long, soulful looks into the distance as you know, you're just about to cut away from you. Somebody will say something like, you know, he's not really your child. And you get this look and then they cut away to a soap commercial.
Right.
So you've got to give them that look.
Right.
You know, it's like, oh my God, what does this mean? As you just told me, my entire life is coming apart.
Right.
That my carefully constructed fabric has been rent from top to bottom.
Yeah, see, it's different.
There's a look.
So I think probably a lot of mirror work. You're looking in the mirror. I think that's what you're talking about. Right? You got to do your eyes. You got to have the film noir thing. Now, we are going to go on to... Amanda and Marcy, but I want to have...
Thank you. That's a relief.
Yes.
Thank you.
But we have questions that are going to be asked by all. First of all, we're going to get interpretations by all three. First of all, what is the web series Carbon Dating about, Michael, in your opinion?
In my opinion, it's, if you'll pardon the expression, ladies, middle-aged women... trying to reinvent themselves, particularly in the relationship or in the world of relationships.
Mm. And who is your character, and how does he impact the show?
Impact. Well, I am one of the people who is
a target.
Yes, a target.
Oh, he's a hottie, and all the baby boomer women are after him. Ah. Ah!
Yes, these roles don't come my way all that often. And it's nice to be the focus of someone's lust.
They right obviously there. Saw your yeah. work in Our Father in the shower scene
oh,
where you
yes,
were
yes,
butt
yes.
naked. They're like, oh, yeah, let's get him. Things are still working.
But no, you'll notice they've put quite a few clothes on me.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was there. They said, we like him, but we like him not naked.
No, that's not true. I was actually thinking baby oil. Let's squirt Michael down with some baby oil. So apparently there's 65 million baby boomers still left. Don't quote me on that. That's mm-hmm. what the material said. Mm-hmm. And for those millennials out there, Michael, can you briefly tell us who baby boomers are and the time period?
My understanding is the baby boomers were the people born from about 1945 on, the post-World War II kids who came along as children of those of the parents who had served in those days. And we went through the 60s and went through the Haight and all that sort of thing, Haight-Ashbury, and free love and all that sort of thing. And now we're all talking about our surgeries like everybody else
our age. Oh, so. My God. It's so true, right? I hear my mother, and she's like, oh, you think that hurts? Oh, no. Right. I hear them all sitting, and they are talking about their illnesses, and they all compete.
Right. We used to talk about hash and yeah. dope. Now we talk about hip replacements.
It's like, oh, no. You think that hurts? That's nothing compared to what I feel. And they all compete,
but
right?
What nobody tells you when you're young is that you never entirely stop being young. Your chassis may start to wear out a little bit, but your mind is still saying,
it's true.
I am hot and I am 17.
It's true.
And so that's what's interesting to watch these women who have maybe been through marriage or divorce and are saying, you know, I'm not dead, for God's sake. I still have feelings, and I want a place for them.
Yeah.
And that's what carbon dating is somewhat about.
Good. All right. Now let's move on to our sexy little Amanda Sarah. Is it pronounced Sarah or
yes,
Sarah?
It is. Sarah. Yeah.
Amanda Sarah. And I like that. That's very porn. I like it. I'm perverted. I'm Irish. You
Love
have to
it.
Forgive
okay.
me. That's all we talk about, alcohol and porn. Okay. So you also write under the name A.L. Is it Trone? Or
Trone.
Trone.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And you were a staff writer and assistant editor for 7 years at the now defunct, that's
yes.
your word, not mine,
yeah.
Literary magazine Encephalon, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And then you got so many credits. It's just amazing. Let's see, Strange Blend at the Cornerstone Theater Project in Wheeling, West Virginia. Lord,
I know.
You have to have some fortitude to stay in Wheeling. I was there for yeah. a while, briefly in the 80s.
She paid her dues.
I woke up in Wheeling. Let's just say that. But let's see, other credits are, your recent credits include Adrian in Threshold and Rhonda Price in Love Addict, and a few recent television credits include Outsiders, Criminal Minds, oh my God, one of my favorite shows.
Mm-hmm.
So dark and depressing, you have to pop a pill. You got to get an upper for that show, though. My Haunted House and Lana the Primatologist in the Onion News Network. And your stage credits include Later, Lady Battersby. You think I had some wild turkey before I came in here. Lady Battersby in Me and My Girl with multiple Tony Award winner Sutton Foster. Mrs. Rose in Hello, Dolly with Tony Award winner Vicki Clark. And Maude Dunlop in The Music Man with Jeff Goldblum. Oh, I love him. Mm. Now he's this little sex kitten. And Ileana Douglas and Ed Begley Jr. Oh, God, what was he on back in the 80s? I see
Saint him. Elsewhere.
Thank
Saint
you.
Elsewhere,
thank yeah. you. Yes. And of course, Amelia in Carbon Dating. So my question is, who is your character and how does she impact the show?
Well, Amelia's a very laid back character. She dawdles along life's path. She's not upset about much, and she's not
mellow yellow.
Yeah. She's sort of accepts what comes at her.
No pot.
It's sort of her natural state of being. Yeah, she's very clean cut in that way, but not, you know, not overcome by much of, you know, Madeline's to-dos. Mm. She kind of is Madeline's even keel.
Okay. And so she's sturdy and strong, and she does the dishes. That sort of thing?
Yeah,
she's
but there's
gonna,
a little
she's
of a dreamer
get it done.
In her. Yeah,
get
there's
it done.
A little bit of a dreamer in her, though.
And what characteristic trait about your character do you like most? Is because she's so opposite from who you are.
Well, she's not that opposite.
Oh, okay.
She just did the dishes before coming.
Oh,
okay.
I think the thing about Amelia that I like the most is that underneath the calm exterior, there's a little bit of an imp in her.
Mm.
That she, every once in a while, unexpectedly will find a bit of self-amusement by turning the knife in Madeline or, you know, just doing a little tweak to her, just kind of for fun.
Harboring feelings of animosity.
No, it's, just
no,
there's this,
okay. there,
no, there's just, she just
repression.
Is, she just is a little bratty sometimes.
Mm, all right. So how did you end up auditioning for this project? First of all, I think I am remiss in even announcing who the hell wrote it and directed it, Michael. Who the hell wrote it and directed it? Oh,
look at Amanda
right Sarah. Oh, because I'm thinking, well, I think that's kind of important. I don't think I mentioned that. Yo, so you wrote it and you directed as well?
I co-directed. Linda Palmer is the...
Love Linda
yes,
Palmer.
Yes, she sort of was the energy behind actually even getting the show going. I had written it and was thinking I would film it episodically, like each episode I would film one at a time. And I brought it to Linda because I had no idea where to start.
Mm-hmm.
I've always been in front of the camera, never behind the camera, and knew nothing about production. And so at the age of 55, I started my own production company.
Wow, your skin looks great for 65.
In the dusk with the light behind
yes.
me.
Yes.
She wanted to, I just wanted her to mentor me so that I could get started. And she read the first episode and she's like, well, you know, do you have any other episodes? I'm like, yeah, I have the whole season. And she said, well, can I read them? And I'm like, sure. And she came back and she said, I'd like to help you produce these. And I think if she had not said that, it would have been a harder struggle to actually get it up and online. Just because she already had been through it, she could, you know, guide it. Mm-hmm. And she's a real powerhouse, and I think that because of her, that's why it's online.
It's happening. It is. So what do you feel would be a couple enticements for another demographic to tune in to watch Carbon Dating?
Well, it's interesting because my daughter does the visual effects, and she also is in the show. And, of course, she's mid-20s, and... her friends have been watching it, and they think it's hilarious because they said they can see their mothers and fathers doing what we're doing. And so they think it's funny to see us doing things that they see their mothers, like finding their glasses to read something and trying to stop them from climbing up on things for fear that they'll fall.
Right?
And so even though they can't necessarily relate to the... to the series as baby boomers, they can relate as seeing baby boomers that they love going through the same thing.
And if I just can interject, there's something universal about the dance between the opposite sex, whether you're 17 or 67.
That's right.
The feelings are very much the same.
Mm-hmm.
They all, and so I think there's some universality in the whole piece that way.
Yeah.
So Why is it called carbon dating? How does that? I don't understand that.
Oh, well.
I like it. Don't understand it.
Actually, that same daughter that I was telling you about, I was just sitting around brainstorming with her and my older daughter, and I was thinking about a title for the show. I was like, it's not quite right, but vintage, like vintage, and it just wasn't right, and we all were thinking about it, and my younger daughter said, how about carbon dating?
See, carbon dating is a
this
method.
This is the wonderful, sexy redhead herself, Marcy Barkin. We're about to talk to her, but go ahead, Marcy.
Yeah, well, luckily it's not video so that they can't see that you might be lying.
Oh, video! Yes, go ahead. You're looking good, good.
Thank goodness. Carbon dating is a scientific thing that they use to date fossils that they find on archaeological digs. Mm. So that's what ties in the fact that, I mean, we're older.
Like it.
And they're dating fossils, but we're also literally dating men. So that's how it all kind of came together.
I like that. Mm. I like that. Is that was
that's
the thing
exactly,
you might,
yeah.
I like that. Well, you know, today, Michael, I don't know if you know, or Marcy or Amanda, these young people, these millennials, have a new app. And have you heard of it? It's called Tinder.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Michael has not heard of it.
Are you kidding?
Look
at it's on my phone.
Oh, my gosh.
No. Explain it to me. Explain it to the old man.
It's just, I had a hard time understanding it. But apparently, this is the new way of dating, Michael. There is an app. You download it to your phone, and people put their picture on there and maybe one or two things about them. And it's strictly for hookups only. It's disgusting. No, now to each his own. I didn't say that. No, it's not. But you basically look at the app. You see a person that's within a close distance of where you are. You look at them. If you like them, now I don't know what swiping right or left is, but if you like the way they look, if you swipe left, that means we're good to go. Let's hook up. Let's meet up and let's boink.
Right,
and if
right.
you swipe
don't
right,
don't you love romance?
No, I know. That's
you
know, what
it's
they
so,
do.
It's Valentine's Day is coming. You skip the. You don't even need the chocolates.
No.
That's right.
No.
You know, at my age, I'm just happy when
it's
something
great.
Vibrates in my pocket.
You
know, so I don't
yes.
need the app. You know,
but that's what's
I just
happening.
Put it on vibrate.
Yes.
And put it as close to
just
you know.
For a little extra something during the day, right
yeah,
before
right.
you take that 3 o'clock nap. Get yeah. that little tingle going.
Please call me. You. Somebody call me.
Yeah, somebody give me a buzz. Literally. Yeah, it's a Tinder app is what the millennials using. And then there's Grindr for another type of
for pleasure, grinding.
For grinding. That's for, I believe that's the LGBT community. So they've got an app for everything. So speed dating is also, I think, pretty in. Now, with carbon dating, how is it set up? Is it like speed dating where there's a restaurant and everybody goes and then you talk for 5 minutes? How are you doing the carbon? Or is it just about dating in general?
It's not just about dating, but it is about relationships.
Okay.
And the first episode, we actually start off with an online dating for seniors, essentially, that Madeline, or Marcy's character, Madeline, mistakenly switches to profiles, the Michael's character's profile and smoking guy.
Oh.
And when she first meets him, she thinks that he's lied on his profile. And
because I'm thinking of a different profile.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that sort of starts off the first season, and then it's misdate after misdate.
So it's not like there's a service that you go to and you sign up and then somebody kind of hooks you up and matches you via the computer.
No.
How are you meeting these hot young Michael Grosses?
Well, she meets him for the first time through a senior dating site.
Okay.
And there are various dates and relationships that are either natural or set up, and in season two there'll be some other relationships that kind of come and go. As
are you just in season one now?
Season one is finished. We have episodes 1 through 9,
okay.
and I'm already on to, you know, pre-production in season two. Mm. But there's dating. You know, dating can come about in all different ways. It can be online. It can be just a neighbor says, "Hey, you know, come on over, share some coffee," and before you know it, you're sitting on the front porch, and you know, so
or climbing in the window.
Yeah,
you never know. It depends what the neighbor looks like. Now let's go on to Marcy because we are just running late here. Marcy Barkin.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, Marcy Bark. Oh, no, I know. Albert's not over there to do the applause, but
yay. Okay. So, I'll applaud myself.
We should have given Michael that job. He's over there.
Make him work for a living.
Marcy Barkin, you started your acting career when you were first in a Chevy commercial, and you fell in love with acting, and you were fortunate enough to work as a series regular and recurring roles on all of the iconic shows in the 70s, including one of my favorites, All in the Family.
I know.
All in the Family. Welcome Back, Cotter. Oh, my God. Barbarino. The Harvey Korman Show. Fernward Tonight. The Facts of Life. Santa Barbara. And again, like Michael, the list goes on and on and on. And you recently appeared in ABC's Mixology and the independent films Ghetto Physics?
Yes.
Or Psychics? Okay, Physics. there could be a ghetto psychic. I don't know. I'm going to get murdered when I turn the corner, when I fall asleep tonight. Yes. Let's Big Happy, Republic of Two, Someone Marry Barry. And gosh, now I want to tell you, Marcy Barkin.
Yes, ma'am.
I have a friend who worked exclusively for Norman Lear back in the day. She was his script supervisor. So she worked on...
I must have worked
with her. Yeah, she worked on practically every episode of All in the Family. So her name is Maddie Crothers. Love this woman. And you know Maddie?
No, but Maddie's my character's name in Carbon Dating.
So there you go. And now this is one of my favorite sitcoms of all time, but I get a little raised eyebrow when I tell some people that that's one of my favorite shows. I do, Marcy. And
why?
I don't know. Well, probably it's very annoying, but I think because, and I wrote this out to make sure that I would not get this wrong. I think that today it would not be politically correct.
Oh, yeah.
And we wouldn't be able to
back
have
then it
such
wasn't.
I know. That's why I love it. It's a show. It's a show that, you know, I feel it dealt with all kinds of prejudices. And even though they deal with those topics today, it wasn't written or acted the way that it was.
And honestly, I don't know anybody other than Carol O'Connor who could have pulled that off.
That's right. No one. I thought about that. I thought, what actor could actually do it? I can't see anyone.
Yeah.
Which episode were you on?
Well, I had a recurring role, and I was a telephone repair person, and I used to come to the front door, and Archie would open the door, and he would give me one of those looks because I was standing there wearing jeans and construction boots and a big, you know, tool belt and a plaid shirt because I would climb the poles, and I would have to ask the owner of the property, could I climb the pole because it was on their property, and he would look at me. And we would wait for 10 minutes for the audience to finish laughing because of his look of disdain. Because he, you know, I should be having babies. What was I doing in this outfit doing this work? And so finally, when the audience calmed down, his line every time I was on would be, well, if it isn't Ms. Bell. Because it was Bell Telephone
right,
at the time, right? Ma Bell. So that was like a running thing. And then we would have some sort of exchange where neither of us was having a good time. We both did not like each other. And then I would basically say thank you only because I had to and then go do my work. So that was the recurring thing.
How did you feel about each of the characters that you worked with on the show, specifically Carol O'Connor? And Gene
Stapleton. What a remarkable man. One of my most favorite people to work with, him and Harvey Korman, were just remarkable. I mean, real old school veterans.
Yeah.
I mean,
very vaudeville.
We have Michael here. Michael understands. Michael's also one of my faves. But anyway, what was amazing about it, it's a little bit of a story, but I was shooting a series called Please Stand By, and we did 24 shows, and we were on the same lot that All in the Family was shooting. So Carol O'Connor was, of course, you know, the king of the lot, and we all tried to get a glimpse of him or whatever, and we never could. One day I'm in my dressing room, which was the size of, you know, this table, not very large, and had room for a chair. And there was a knock on the door, and I said, yeah. And someone said, it's Carol O'Connor. And I thought it was just a crew member, because we were always doing that to each other. And I said, yeah, yeah, and I just ignored it. And then the knock came again, and he said, no, actually, it's really Carol O'Connor. And I opened the door, and there he was. He was, like, standing there, and I...
What did
and
he
I,
want?
Well, and I was, like, so shocked, and
did
I
he have his clothes on?
Yeah! Sleepwalking? What was
just
happening?
Yeah, and I was... So I said, I looked at him, and I did something completely ridiculous, which was, I said, Archie! Right? And he gave me a look, like, exactly like Archie would give me, only he meant it. You know, like, are you serious? You know, like, he expected more. Here we are, actors, right? And I said, sorry, sorry. And he said, are you going to invite me in? Turns out he had been sneaking in. When you do rehearsals for three camera, you know, it's like stadium seating, and it's always dark when you're going through rehearsals or whatever, and he was sneaking in and going up to the high bleachers and just sitting and watching the rehearsals. And it turns out that he did that for all the shows that were shooting on his lot. But he came in and he said, I've been watching you, and you have old time comedy timing. He said, it's like you're from the 40s.
Wow.
And I said, well, Carol Lombard, you know, and Claudette Colbert are my mentors. I've watched all their films. I love that style.
Right.
And he said, nobody has that kind of timing. He said, so I want to work with you. And that's how I got the part. He said, I'll talk to the writers. We'll come up with something. And 3 weeks later, my agent called and said, "Okay, you're on the show next week."
How cool is that?
That was incredible. It's one of my favorite. It's something I am so grateful for. It's like a memory I'm going to have for the rest of my life. It was just remarkable.
How flattering!
What were you doing? Really? Had you been cast in just a one episode thing?
Is he said it's going to be recurring. He said, I don't know what it's going to be, but it's going to be recurring.
Oh.
And then, okay, I know I'm taking up all time.
No,
you have all these questions.
Kidding?
But
I love these. I love these stories.
But there's a little postscript to it, which is that we started rehearsals, and, you know, it's only a week. Every week is a new show.
Yeah.
So you get the script and whatever. And I couldn't get through rehearsals without laughing. Because he would mime opening the door, and then he would see me as this character, and then I started laughing when I saw his face, and he got upset with me, and he said, look, you know, we're taping in front of a live audience Friday night. I mean, I said, no, I'll be fine. When we really have to do it, I'll be fine. I said, I just can't help it. It's like getting the giggles or the laughs, and you can't stop. So sure enough, we get to the actual taping, and we get to that scene, and the camera's on him, and the audience is laughing like crazy. So you have to hold for that, which is why I love three camera. It's like half theater, half film.
Right.
So you're holding for the audience, and I'm waiting, and then all of a sudden the light goes on, and I look at him in response to his look to me. Now, he's never seen me do anything because I couldn't get past him looking at me. So I give him a look like if looks could kill, and he burst out laughing.
Oh, can you believe it? Carol O'Connor.
And so he grabbed me by the scruff of the shirt, and he looked at the audience, and he said, hang on, we'll be right back. And he pulled me backstage and gave me a huge hug and said, nobody's ever made me break character.
Oh,
he said, so now we can go out and just do this thing. It was, without a doubt, one of the best experiences of my entire career.
Isn't that a great story, Michael?
I know. I wish I'd watched more Carol Lombard movies.
I
would have gotten somewhere. I could have gotten hugged by Carol O'Connor.
You could have.
Yes. No, let me
ask That's you, great.
What, and I bet you have tons of stories. We're going to have to come back on. Yeah, I know. My good. So what do you feel, and anyone can answer this, but what do you feel has been the overall reaction from viewers of Carbon Dating?
Oh, we've got an incredible response. I'm just going to start, and then Amanda,
yeah,
who is the creator.
Yeah, and then we'll go to Michael.
Yeah, I mean, Amanda gets full credit for this. She wrote every show. She conceived of it. And, you know, I said, I'd love to do a web series. And she said, well, you know, we could do that. I said, well, I can't write. I'm only an actor. And yeah. She said, well, I can write. And I said, well, then write us a series. And she did.
Wow.
And it's
oh,
just
so you guys are friends from way back. You know,
we were in acting class together.
Oh, okay.
And so she gets full credit for this. But the response has been amazing, truly amazing. And I think it's because there are not that many shows, if any, that cater to our demographic.
Right.
And it's got great heart. It's funny because it's not just about dating. It's also about everything that we run into, like readers. Mm-hmm. Like we have to wear readers now. I mean, come on.
You know, those
reading little
glasses.
Reading glasses.
Oh, okay.
Those
the little half bifocal things. Yeah.
You know, so you have those, you know, or maybe, you know, you pee your pants because you're laughing too hard.
Yeah.
Or, you know, do we Botox? Because we're, you know, the dating part of it is we're competing with young gals out there.
Right.
So it's a mix. So it's, we're awkwardly aging. We don't know what to do because, like Michael said, inside we're 19.
Yeah. It's true.
But it's like, how
that's
do you...
That's why all the old men go after the young girls. They're
that's
like,
right.
But why wouldn't you want me? Why? They don't see themselves
that's
for
right.
what they really look like. There's some sort of a mask of
right.
false bravado or
well,
something.
Well, and Amanda wrote that, and Michael, there's a whole episode about, she says, why, you know, I remember when we used to be young and supple, and then it goes into a fantasy sequence, and, you know, a young girl is, you know, frothing around with Michael in a swimming pool, and he's throwing her around, and it's this sensual thing. And this is Amanda's in my fantasy. So it's
Michael as he is jump you boy.
Somebody's,
now I know
somebody's got to do it.
Yeah. Some, wow, talk about the perks. Now let me ask you, what is the ultimate goal of the show? The web series.
The ultimate goal, I would think, well, from my point of view, first and foremost, we want to turn it into a TV show
mm-hmm.
as opposed to a YouTube
yeah.
webcast. That's number one. And I think the goal is to give middle-aged people, middle-aged women in particular, but also men, heart
mm-hmm.
and hope and joy, because we start new careers now.
Third, I mean, chapter of our lives.
Exactly.
Right?
And this is, we are unlike any other generation that came before us. We really are. We have energy and smarts and experience and
drugs to keep us alive.
And drugs,
longer.
Thank God.
We got the little blue pill.
That's
God
it.
Bless Michael, right?
So,
you know, it's, we're living longer now.
Yeah.
We got to keep it going. Now, you had mentioned talking about the ultimate goal of the show. What is the route that you take with a web series for the path of success for people who don't know? Because a lot of people don't know what the hell a web series is, you know?
Well, and especially for baby boomers, some of us are very technologically savvy, and some people barely have email. So
yeah.
we are trying to overcome that sort of gap in technology
mm-hmm.
and how people use it in our age group. But as far as web series, there have been many examples of a successful web series being picked up by HBO or by Netflix and Hulu. And what prompts that is how popular it is, how many hits, how many views, how many subscribers. If it goes viral, I mean, that is just makes it all the more tasty for a network to want to pick it up. And then, you know, you can have a pitcher go to the various networks or the various online platforms like Netflix and Amazon Prime and Hulu to pitch it to them and see if it's something that they want to pick up and develop or pick up and produce.
Right. So web series really in today's age, for those people who may not understand, because we have an international audience, and I get a lot of, believe it or not, I have a huge following in, what's that country, Albert?
Slovenia.
Wow.
So I don't know why. they asked me questions about web series, like I got a couple, and they wanted to know what is the most that you can achieve from creating a web series. They don't really understand that, you know, like
I'm not sure what they mean by most. A web series can certainly begin and end as a web
series. It's like
series.
A little television
and
show.
And can be wonderful because there are chances that can be taken there that you can't take anywhere else.
Right.
Because you don't have to satisfy sponsors sometimes. I mean, not that their sponsors can't get involved, all that sort of thing. Much less expensive to make. Or it can be an incubator for something else, as Amanda
It can be a demo reel
about.
To showcase
exactly.
your skills as a writer, as an actor.
So it can
producer.
Be a, it can be a lot of things that can be good in a lot, whatever form it takes.
It can be free or very, very bad.
A lot of people say, there's so many platforms right now. So many people are doing things. I said, yes, but most of them are still going to be as bad as they, you know, the cream will rise to the top, if you will.
Right.
And there's a lot of junk out there because anybody who's holding an iPhone right now can be a director.
Yes, recently, you know. Recently that they shot Tangerine. A guy shot Tangerine on 3 iPhone 5s, went Sundance. It's huge. Blew up. Mm. I mean, a whole feature film.
Right.
So you can do a web series, and it can be a vehicle for your career. Felicia Day... Mm-hmm. Day, Supernatural. I mean, she started a web series. That's how she became famous. Now she's on Supernatural, regular, you know, everyone knows Felicia Day. She's like a cult icon. So web series are an excellent vehicle for you as an actor to start out with being a producer, a director, something to experiment on. And iPhone 6 Plus, so I think you can shoot with an iPhone, but it's a wonderful, wonderful venue. I understand that one of you, or maybe all of you, want Ellen DeGeneres and Oprah to invite you onto their shows. But my question is, do you have any plans to invite them to be guest stars? So why not invite them to be like do a cameo?
Oh,
Michael can do that.
Well, guess what?
What?
We've talked about this, but I have my own personal.
Ellen would totally do it.
Right. Well, I'm going to let Amanda address that, but I just have to say publicly that what I want, here's my wish list. Mm. I want Michael Caine to play my father on Carbon Dating.
Oh, here's the gong. We're running. I like it. I like it, Marcy. Well, I say go ahead, invite them as guests. I think they would do it. Ellen is just so hip and cool. I think she would really dig this. And I haven't watched it, but I totally dig the concept and the storyline. And I think she would too. Now, would you take for... we already answered this question. Never mind. One of your goals is to be purchased by a network or an online platform like Hulu, Netflix, Amazon Prime. What is the current plan or process for producing to make this happen? What are you guys doing to work towards this goal? Now, we got Michael obviously going out and doing auctions, you know, being auctioned off as a, you're not a bachelor, you're married. All right, never mind. We can't even auction Michael.
Sorry, ladies.
Can't
sorry.
Auction Michael off to get any money.
No.
What are you guys doing?
As far as to bring it up to that next level?
Yeah.
Well, I'm writing a pilot, which would be then sitcom length, so that there is something to show, you mm-hmm. know, to the network execs. I already have a woman who's a pitcher that is essentially just waiting for me to give her that pilot.
So it's a spec pilot.
Yeah.
So you can have a web series of a show running, and there are no rules that say you can't do a spec pilot. They don't. That's not, you know, they'll go like, well, it's already been on the air. It's
That doesn't really make a difference. And what the benefit of having that already running is it's something concrete for them to see.
Right.
You know, what if I come up and I say, yeah, it's the misadventures of a couple of baby boomers awkwardly aging in a youth-oriented society. It has flashbacks and fantasy sequences. They still can't. You can't really visualize that unless you say, "Here, watch this."
Yeah,
and it makes it a little bit more accessible to them, and then they can decide if it's something that they think is good for their network.
They don't have. I don't think the executives. The desensitized. What do they have? Like a 10 second attention span. So you know they want to see it. Show me what you got. Show me. So that's really. So you're right now. That's what you're working on. What are you working on, Marcy? Other than carbon dating, you got any other projects coming up that you want to tell us about?
No. I wish I could say I did at the moment, but I don't. I'm helping. Carbon dating right now is.
Probably a lot of work.
Well, it's just that it's really important to me. Yeah. I think it's a marvelous show. I really, really believe in it. I think we all did, forgive me for saying, but we all did great work. I mean, and it's funny, and the crew loved it, and all of the actors that were cast in all of the other roles and everything are wonderful. So to me, it's really fresh. It's really new. So I'm really focusing on helping Amanda and Michael in this effort to, you know, to move it forward because it's, I think it's important. I think it's important to get it out there.
Michael, what's going on? What's happening, baby doll, baby lips?
Well,
what's going on?
Well, this week, believe it or not, I'm actually talking to the people at Universal Entertainment about a Tremors 6, believe
me. Oh,
wow, that's right.
We're pitching ideas, and Tremors 5, which came out in October of 2015, has done so well, they're already talking about 6. So we're going to back to the drawing board, and I'm seeing somebody this week about pitch meeting.
It's a cult classic.
Icon!
That will never go away.
Oh, my God, that was one of my questions. I was going to ask, what the hell does it feel like to be an icon, a cult icon?
Tell me about it. Please tell my wife. Please tell my wife I'm a cult icon.
Does she
because
not
she
know?
Treats me like dirt. Okay? Treats me like I'm just... Like
a
I'm
normal
just taking
person.
Up space in her house.
Yeah. Does she not know you are a sci-fi horror icon from Tremors?
Oh, baby.
Wow. There were women lining up to get a hold of you. Well, that's fantastic.
Sure.
Wasn't it? Isn't it on
there are small children with guns. That's who's up.
Do you go to all those festivals? You know how they have the horror sci-fi festivals in you?
Occasionally. Okay. I try not to overdo it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I go occasionally.
And is it on, am I right, it's on sci-fi or?
No, Once Upon a Time it was. It can be seen, you know,
anywhere.
Any of the first five can be seen anywhere these days on any given marathon night.
Yeah, so but, check Michael Gross out. He was fantastic in that movie. It's an 80s cult classic. It's like opposite Rocky Horror Picture Show, but still.
No, it's really a lot of fun.
You are listening to an icon.
The gift that keeps on giving.
That's
Bert
right.
Bert Gummer.
Well, I just want to thank you guys so much for coming on the show. I want everyone to go right now to carbondatingseries.com. And is it playing on the website or just on YouTube?
It's on the web, and it'll take you to YouTube, but it's linked right into there. Just click on it, and you can watch episode 1 through 9.
We didn't talk about funding. What do you have, like a little gold bars in your basement, or do you guys need
put
funding?
Out a hat in the middle of the table, as you can
see.
We're
trying
to
auction
drop
you
a few
off.
Dollars. You could just drop a few dollars in that hat.
We're always looking for investors.
I was going to ask, my God, because it takes a lot of money to do projects, not as much as a feature film, but you're okay with that, or do you have any campaigns running?
We don't have any campaigns running currently. I'd like to do all of season 2 just with backers.
Okay.
Yeah. And I'm looking for sponsorship, but it's a little tougher with the web series and the contract with SAG, so it kind of changes things up. Yeah. So I'd like to just keep it with the
Well,
the
we can always do an underground fundraiser. We got Michael. We'll have his wife. We'll send her to Europe, and then we'll auction him off for a night, right? We'll have Marcy do a pole dance.
Oh.
We can do things to get some bucks, right? Well, I want to thank you. Michael, say
thank
goodbye
you.
To your fans, to
you.
All of your
pleasure.
Cult fans.
Nice to be with you.
And Amanda.
Thank you very much.
And Marcel.
It's been so much fun. Thank you.
Thank you. So I want you guys to come back.
Lovely.
We'd love to.
Come back, Michael.
Will do.
All right. Thank you guys for tuning in to Question Reality. We thank you so much, and we'll see you next week. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.